I'm pleased to be able to introduce our speaker today, Reverend Joel Fitzgerald. He is a pastor at Sterling Heights United Methodist Church. He has a very close connection to this congregation. He's married to pastor of this service, Reverend Aaron Fitzgerald, who is preaching at his church today. They decided to swap and get to know some other people. So Reverend Fitzgerald is a guy of deep thinking, great intellect, good sense of humor, and a devoted father to Michael, their son. So I hope you will listen very attentively, pay attention, and give him a nice St. Paul's welcome. Reverend Joel.
Thanks. Thank you, Rick, and thank you to everyone here at the Open Door. It's been a wonderful time already so far to be with you all this morning, and I just want to say that you all are very lucky to have the team that you have working to put this amazing service together, and you guys are very blessed to be able to be here. I also say that you're blessed to have my wife as your pastor, but you will know that a little more when I'm done preaching. Then you will really know how blessed you are to have her. As we get started today, let's hear some words from the Apostle Paul in Romans 12, verses 1 through 2. And those are magically on the screen. This is amazing. Again, I just want to know how blessed you guys are to have things that work and people who know how to do things. So hear these words from the Apostle Paul. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when I was thinking about what to speak to you all on this morning, I asked Erin what she thought I should preach on, and she said, well, do whatever you want, which is always a scary thing to hear when someone says to you, do whatever you want. So I was thinking about the station in life we're in, the season of life, and we are in September. We're beginning to go back to school. We're beginning to go back into the program calendar of the church year, and it's a time when we begin to think about how we are going to interact with people. Maybe we've been on vacation. We've been up at the cottage for a while, and we're beginning to think about and drag ourselves maybe back to the normal rhythms of life. And so I wanted to talk today about conformity, what it means to conform to the world that we're going back into, whether that's school or whether that's work or whether that's being away from vacation. What does it mean to conform to the world that we are into? And the Apostle Paul here in Romans has a message for us, and that is, don't conform. Don't conform to the world around us. And here's the issue, though, because we have a tendency to conform, don't we? We have a tendency to conform to people around us, to conform to the ideas around us, to conform ourselves to what's around us, rather than necessarily what's good for us or maybe what's good for God. We have this tendency to conform. We do this in lots of areas of our life. We do this in the area of clothes, don't we? On Wednesdays, we wear pink. Of course, this is from that seminal cinematic classic, Mean Girls. And that is the truth, right? We want to make sure that we are wearing what other people are wearing, that we are wearing things that are appropriate, right? We want to conform ourselves in the way we look to what we think is acceptable. And I should say this isn't just a gendered thing about women. Men do this too. This morning I was getting ready to come here and I was, you know, feeling a little nervous. It's a new group of people. I was trying to get myself ready and I was shaving. And our son Michael, who's almost 4, wanders in. And he's at that stage in life, in the life of a child, when he likes to ask questions. And primarily it's that awful question of why. And so he wanders in, and I'm busy. I'm combing my hair, and I'm getting out my hair goop and all the stuff, and I'm just trying to get myself ready. And Michael looks at me for a couple minutes, and then he says, "Daddy, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, Michael, I'm getting ready. I'm getting ready to go to church. I'm combing my hair." And he says, "Why?" And I said, "Well, I'm combing my hair so it looks good." And then he says, "Well, why?" And then I think, okay, well, so there's not any hairs out of place, so my hair looks nice. He says, "Well, why?" Right? And then I thought and stopped for a second. Well, indeed, why? Why is it that I'm so concerned about impressing other people? Why is it that I'm so concerned about looking the way other people think I should look? So we do this with our appearance. We do this with our activities. Another one of my favorite things that I actually just finished watching, Stranger Things. Anyone watch Stranger Things? Okay, well, I won't give it away. But there's this great scene in the new season of Stranger Things where Steve and Dustin, Steve is an older guy who's just graduated high school, and Dustin is a middle schooler who's his friend. And Steve is trying to find a girlfriend, and Steve is being all sad about this. And Dustin says, "Well, what about Robin, the girl that you work with at the ice cream shop? Why don't you date her?" And Steve says, "Oh, I couldn't date her. She was in band." And then Dustin has this great line. He says, "Dude, you're not even in high school anymore. Why do you still care about those things?" Right? And it's a funny line, but it's still true for us, right? We're so concerned to be in the right activities, to be in the right group of people, to be in the right tribe. We're so worried about doing those things, to be with the right people. We're so worried about conforming. And we do this with a lot of different things. We do this with our bodies too, right? We want to make our bodies look the way that they're supposed to look. And we used to be that we only were confronted with this when we were in the grocery store and we saw what was on the magazines in the grocery store. But now we're confronted on it every time we get on Facebook and we see all the people and all how they look, and we just want to conform ourselves to that. So this is something we do. This is a tendency we have, is we have this need to conform ourselves to what other people do and what other people want. And the Apostle Paul talks about this in verse 2, the first part of verse 2. He says these words, "Do not be conformed to this world." Now here's something about the Bible you should know. In the Bible, whenever something says to not do something, it's not just some hypothetical thing, right? The authors of the Bible weren't doing these theoretical treatises on ethics. If something says in the Bible not to do something, it's probably because people were doing it, right? So in the Ten Commandments, when it says do not kill, it's probably because people were going around killing each other. When it says do not steal, it was because they were going around stealing. And so here, when the Apostle Paul says don't conform to this world, what it probably means is the people he was dealing with, the early Christians, were conforming to the world. They were trying to form themselves into the image of the world instead of the image of Christ. And the word there, world, and this is something you should know about me. Rick said it very nicely that I was an intellectual. One thing you could say is I'm a know-it-all. And so I like to know things. And one of those things is the word world there. Do not conform to this world. That comes from the Greek word, and I won't even try to pronounce it, but it's eon or aeon. And it means this age, right? It means this age. And it's talking about not just the physical world, but sort of this era we're in, this age that we're in. And there's a sense here that Paul is saying that this age that we're in is not the way God wants it to be. The age that we're in, the age that we're living in, is not the way God wants it to be. The way we have organized ourselves politically and economically and socially and culturally is not the way that God had intended for us to be. And so when Paul is saying to the people, don't conform to this world, he's saying don't conform to the way we have organized this world, because it is not the way God wants it to be. And so then what is the answer to that? How do we, instead of conforming to this world, what should we do? Well, for the Apostle Paul, it's this: to be transformed. Instead of conforming to this world, to be transformed. And we get this a little more in verses chapter 12, verse 2b. "But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable and perfect." So Paul here is saying not to be conformed to this world, but transform ourselves into something else, not something in this world, in this present age, that isn't what God wants it to be, but into something that is more towards what God wants. And he gets that in verse 1. We don't have verse 1. In verse 1, he says, offer yourselves as a thing of worship. Present your bodies as a thing of worship. So God wants us to present all of ourselves to worship, to transform ourselves, not into what the world wants, but into what God wants us to be. And that's the thing. It's not about us, right? It's not about conforming ourselves to this world, to what other people want us to be. It's about transforming ourselves into what God wants us to be, to transform ourselves into Christ, into what God wants us to be. And that is what it is about. Because here's the thing. I think for a lot of us, I think we get that sense that the world isn't the way it should be, right? We get that sense that the world isn't the way it should be. And we wake up in the morning and we know that, right? We look at the news and we know that. The world isn't the way it's supposed to be. But sometimes we don't know what to do with that. And so that's why I think we try to conform ourselves to the world around us, because sometimes that's easier. Sometimes it's easier for us to transform ourselves, to conform ourselves into the dominant culture than it is to go a new path, to be the thing that Christ wants us to be. So what are the ways in which we can transform ourselves? What are the things that we can do to transform ourselves into the way Christ wants us to be? Well, I think the first thing we could do is to pray for wisdom. Now, I know this seems a little obvious, and I can just hear you as you're at your lunch table or going out to lunch, and someone says, well, what did the pastor talk about today? And you can say, well, the pastor told us to pray. And that can be a very obvious thing, right? But I think sometimes we don't do this, right? Pray for wisdom. Pray that God might show us what God wants us to do. And that is to ask God if the things we are doing are to please God, to give honor to God, or are the things we're doing for ourselves? Let me say that again. Are the things we're doing to honor God? Are we conforming ourselves to something so that we can be pleasing to God, so that we can do what God wants us to do, or are we doing it to please others? I think about that when I go to the gym. Am I going to the gym so that I can be a healthy person? I can be the healthy person God wants me to be? Or am I going to the gym so that I can be swole like the other guys at the gym and look really good with my big muscles and my ripped abs? Right? Is that why I'm going to the gym? So I would encourage us to do this in areas of life. When we think about going to activities and we think about how we present ourselves, are we doing this for ourselves? Are we doing this so we can conform to others? Are we doing it so we can be a part of God? And the second part is this. So pray for wisdom, and the second part is to present ourselves before God. Paul says in Romans to present ourselves as worship to God, and that just means to present all of who we are to God, to present all of who we are to be in worship to God. Now, here's the complicated part. Sometimes presenting ourselves in worship to God does mean that we need to be aware of what other people expect of us. And that is a truth. All right. Sometimes we do need to be aware of what other people expect of us. Now, I think you may be confused, because at the beginning of this sermon, if you were listening, if you weren't listening, well, then you can just pay attention to what I'm saying now. But if you were listening at the beginning, I said, don't conform. Right. So now I'm telling you that you need to be aware of what people expect. And here's the difference. I think conforming is doing things so that other people can love us, doing things so that other people can like us, so that we can be with other people. Right. I think what Paul is talking about here instead is doing things, transforming ourselves so that other people might come to Christ, so other people might be loved through what we do. Let me give you an example. As a pastor, part of my job is to help other people connect with God. Right? That's what I see my job as, is helping other people connect with God. Hopefully, I've done part of my job today, and you're helping to connect with God, but that's what I feel like, helping other people connect with God. And so sometimes that brings me to different areas, to different situations in life. So sometimes part of helping other people connect with God is going to a festival or going to a fair and handing out brochures for the church. Right? And so in that instance, I helping people connect with God, it's important for me to be approachable. Right? So I decide in those instances not to wear my full robe and stole and cincture, right? Because that would look weird if you're having fun eating your corn dog at a fair and you see this guy dressed up in a full liturgical garb. Right? Likewise, when a part of what I do to help people connect with God is to go to funerals and to officiate at funerals and help people through times of deep grief. Right? And going to a funeral, people expect you to be dressed solemnly and to be dressed in an appropriate manner. Right? So when I go to funerals, I don't dress up in my very loud Hawaiian shirt and my dad cargo shorts. I decide to dress up in a shirt and tie and a suit because that's what people expect. Right? It's what people expect that, and by doing that, I am able to help them connect with God. So here's the thing. I don't dress up in a suit and tie because I want to be on the cover of GQ, because God knows my ill-fitting suits wouldn't get me there. But I dress up in a suit and tie so that when people are in a time of grief, they can feel like I am ministering to them. They can feel like I can be a servant of God to them. So that's what we need to do. We need to not conform to this world, not do things because of what other people want us to do, but we need to transform ourselves into the way Christ wants us to be. So we need to pray for wisdom about why we're doing the things we do. Why are we doing the things we're doing? Why are we concerned about the things we're concerned about? And then we need to transform ourselves and to think about what it is that we can do to help others come to know Christ. Because that's what we should be about. We shouldn't be about necessarily conforming ourselves to this present age. We shouldn't be concerned with conforming to ourselves with the dominant culture, but we should be concerned with how we can present ourselves in the best light so that other people might come to know Christ and other people might know the love of God in Jesus Christ. Will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the gift you have given us in Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you are able to help us transform ourselves, not in the way of this world, but in the way of your Son, Jesus. And so, God, we ask that you would continue to help us be your people here. Amen. And one of the ways in which we transform ourselves into the body and people of Christ is through Holy Communion. And Holy Communion is that act of transformation. It is an act by which we come together as a community. We come together with all of us, our different people, people who we might not like all the time, people who we might not get along with all the time, and our friends and our families too. We come together and we form one body. And we form one body around the table of Christ who prays for us and who forgives us of our sins. So I'm going to invite us to be in an attitude of prayer together. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and we are mindful on the night in which he gave himself up for us. He was sitting around a table with a group of people, a group of common people just like us, a group of sometimes broken people just like us, and importantly, a group of people who he knew were going to betray him. And even then, God, he took a loaf of bread and he blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took a cup of wine and he gave thanks to you, God, and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins." So God, as we remember these mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we pray that you would help us become a living sacrifice just as Jesus was so many years ago. So pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, O God, and on these simple things of bread and grape juice, that in their simplicity they may become for us your body and blood, that they may become for us your sense of forgiveness, that no matter who we are, no matter where we've been, no matter what we've been through, we know that you love us, that you forgive us, and that your gracious arms are open wide for us. So God, as we come together, help us get a sense of that forgiveness, help us get a sense of that compassion. And help us be able to come to this common table and spread that love and compassion to others. Amen.